This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is the 2nd of November 2017. 2nd November already. My name's Patrick Smith, and not much to talk about this week, is there? Not many talking points of the week. We'll get stuck in. I'll start off. Mr. McJimsey, how are you?
Not bad, Paddy. Feliz Navidad. Coming around the corner now. Halloween is over and the goose is getting fat. It's time for turkey.
Absolutely.
And not be long to the Christmas trees coming out of the roost base. Looking forward to it.
Me and my missus were in Debenhams in Manchester at the weekend, and they have all the Christmas stuff already up.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Christmas tunes playing.
I had to go to IKEA the other week, or I can't even remember some nonsense we had to get. You know, you can only get from IKEA, that sort of nonsense. And all the decorations, right? So the kids were loving it. So I love Christmas. Best time of year. Hockey season.
And Mr. Simon Kitchen, recovered from your weekend?
Just about, mate. Saturday was interesting. Sunday I didn't have a drink. But it was a really good weekend. Always good to get up to Scotland and then to Murrayfield. Such a luxurious property to watch hockey in. And freeze your nuts off. But apart from that, everything was great.
Davey's never been there, have you, Davey?
Never been, man. Never been. I was there. I've been there a few times, Paddy, but as you know, you can't have a drink in it. So it's one of my best memories. I don't know. Says if you know. What did you call Paddy? He's Reggie Dunlop in the forum.
I don't know what his name was.
But says I'd gone into the wee bar. I'd triple parked. Like, I'd got as many Heinekens, I think it was, as I could carry. And I'd gone up the back row. Paddy, I think Vicky Mack was there. A few of the other old faces. And I was forcing these beers into me, and this guy comes along and goes, "Here, mate, you can't drink." And I said, what do you mean you can't drink? And he goes, "You can't drink in the stands." So I was trying to hose these off while trying to sort of talk to him at the same time.
He turned his back. Davey
turned my back on him, started like banging these beers into me, and he goes, "You can't drink in any arenas in Scotland." So I was going, "I've never been to Scotland for this. My first time I've been in Scotland, mate." But I'm trying to suck. So I keep him about 3 or 4 minutes and managed to hose all these beers down. He goes, "I'm going to have to take them off you." So I just handed him all the empties and just went, well, fair enough, mate. There you go. So,
all these empty beers.
But that was me. I was bongo dead.
And that was at the start of the game. Good times. Right, lads. Well, speaking of games in Edinburgh, we'll get onto them in a bit, but we've got a couple of issues to deal with before that. The first of which comes as no surprise.
Dops.
Yep, we had such a great response to when Davey and Sis joined Aaron Murphy and Dr. Victoria Silverwood last week to talk in the special one-off podcast, Retaliation is Not Justification, when they looked at, well, what was a bit of a shocking outcome from Dops. We all know the story of the fact that Dops had looked at the incident between Galakos and Freder and sort of give Freder one game and Galakos three. There was an outcry, not just from the Belfast Giants fans, though from social media of late you'd think from Steelers fans it was just the Belfast Giants fans, but it wasn't. There was an outcry not just from fans as well, but from officials, from former players, as to the fact that this was not an example of how player safety should be dealt with and that it wasn't actually dealing with player safety at all. After the podcast, next day, a bit of an unprecedented thing when there was a statement from the Elite Ice Hockey League saying that the board had made an unprecedented move to review the Department of Player Safety's decisions related to the game between the Sheffield Steelers and the Belfast Giants on Sunday, October the 22nd. The people involved for Elite League Dops will not be involved in this review process, and the Elite League has asked for assistance from an outside body that currently look after player safety for another top-level professional league. We found out eventually that it was actually Lyle Seats, a former NHL linesman, and he was used along with members of the Player Safety Committee, PSC, a global body established overseeing player safety and discipline for a number of leagues throughout the hockey world. Now, the members of the PSC were experienced hockey people who looked at the incidents and were given their independent analysis based on the video clips supplied by the league. When they'd seen those clips, the result they came to was in stark contrast to what was given by Dops previously. Colton Freder, who had only been given one game previously, had that suspension increased to 6 games. Spear Galakos, who got a three-game suspension, that was reduced to 2 games. And his penalty 5-plus game for checking from behind was removed from his record. The review verdict was very detailed. It was excellent overall, and it concluded with a line that further to this, the Elite League had removed Simon Kirkham as head of Department of Player Safety with immediate effect. We also believe that there's to be an emergency board meeting in the next week or so to deal with DOPS and officialdom. We did have an agreement from two leading officials who were happy to come onto the show to discuss this incident and its wider implications. However, in the light of that emergency board meeting next week, the decision has been made to park the interview with those guys until a unilateral decision has been made by the board, and the future of DOPS and the role of the officials has been made clear. Rather than to take these people who are involved and have them speculate and possibly damage their own position within the game before the decision is reached. The fallout of the decision seems to be a lot of people are very happy at the fact that there's been detailed assessment of DOPS, detailed assessment of the Freder incident, and we'll come to DOPS from this week and the detailed assessment that we've seen of this week's stuff, especially the headbutt for Sebastian Silvestre in the Brayhead game. But Davey, let's start with you. The outcome, the detail that we got from this PSC and the new DOPS was very welcome, and you did say 10 games, it was 6. What were your thoughts?
I think that whenever you see the level of detail, it's hard to argue with it. It almost leaves no room for debate. You know, it's so black and white. You know, I just reading in front of me here, you know, and this isn't the get a Colton Freder or anything. This is just what the statement said. You know, there was willful intent to injury directly from behind. Opposing player was unsuspecting, directly to the head, neck. This is just in case people haven't actually read this. Use the hands in a forceful manner to inflict punishment. The distance travel is also important. He's done it with intent for the purpose of punishing an opponent with a physical action deemed recklessly endangering, and he's caused an apparent injury. You know, there's no grey areas left there. There's no sort of, you know, well, there's this and this, and, you know, the retaliation justification, as we talked about last week, and a bit the same as, you know, the calling the white on orange attacks and all these, you know, and what they did with the Spiro hit and the kick. It's analysed in such detail, and it's a clever use of the English language and how they put it all together. It's very, very well written, and it's structured in such a way, and they have these sort of tariffs, you know, the careless tariff, if you like, the intentional tariff, you know, and it going forward. And we've seen this week's outcomes, the 5 outcomes this week as well. And it also vindicates Mike Hicks to an extent on the night, yeah, because he was really, really lambasted on that. He missed this. Videos have been independently reviewed by some of the leading guys in player safety, and they went, no, he got those right. He got the check from behind right. He was right not to call a penalty. He got the kick right, because they've stood over the kick and said, yes, it's a ban, but it's not a bad kick. But the only thing you can do for a kick or an attempted kick, a bit like the headbutt, there's nothing really in the headbutt, but because it's the only tariff they can give is a match penalty, he gets his match penalty, he has to sit a one-match ban. And I did say that, we did say this last week, I didn't think there was very much in the Galakos kick. And Victoria Silverwood was very, very clear. It's almost as if Victoria Silverwood wrote that. This is how good she is.
Yeah.
You know, this ties back into what she said last week, is almost to the letter what those guys put out in their press release. So, you know, it's welcome. And I think it's welcome by officials as well, because they're now being backed up in the decisions that they make on the game night. You've seen in the Sheffield Clan game from the weekend, Simon Kitchen called it on Sunday morning. He says, you know, you can't get banned for being stronger than another player. He's just taken that shoulder and he's been stronger. And yes, he's gone in the boards, but not every board play is a penalty. Not every board play is a suspension. And that's came out, you know, Clan have done their dough there, £250 down a pan, because Dops have came back and said, no, the referee was right in the night not to call a penalty. So it's welcome that the level of detail they're going into. That's the one thing that I have seen on social media from people that are commenting on it, is how pleased they are to see the level of transparency and detail. Forgetting even, you barely need to see a video when you get to read that sort of level of detail. So it's very, very welcome.
That's it, isn't it? It's the fact that I've said it myself week on week, and in chats. Rob McGregor, who works with the media, will tell you I've moaned at him about it as well. The amount of times over the last months and months and months that we've seen videos from DOPS that have been described as video explanations, but they weren't actually explanations. Now we're getting explanations.
Yeah, I mean, what the new guys brought out and compared to what was put out from the DOPS panel is chalk and cheese. It's just, it's like, you know, Simon Kirkman I'm led to believe it was the panel which has been set up, because we were always told it was just Simon Kirkham making these decisions for the last number of months, but I'm led to believe that Andy French and Maury Hansen were involved.
Right.
From a source. And, you know, when you've got three people making the decision, and this is the thing we touched on last week, guys, about, you know, we don't want to throw Simon Kirkham under the bus. I think Davey had mentioned that. I was quite happy to throw him under the bus for the decision that he made. But when it's, you know, when it's not just him making these decisions, it's like the three of them. If it's those three that did come to a conclusion with regards to that initial one-game ban on Colton Freder, they must not have watched that video. Stevie Wonder could have pointed out that was a more than a one-game ban. You know, you've already touched on how the new panel come out and worded it, and it was fantastic explanation of exactly what happened. I mean, we pointed out that for me straight away, Colton Freder turns, skates backwards into Galakos, and Galakos has to stop him moving forward. He has to. As a hockey player, your coach is going to give you a wonder buck and possibly bench you if you do not make that hit. So it's essential that he stops him coming forward towards a Giants goal. And for me, it was an easy decision by the new panel who came up with a 6-game ban. Even 6 games, you know, Davey touched on it last week after the podcast. Davey took the results of what we thought it was going to be. I think it was, you said 10, Davey, last week, didn't you?
It was the week before. I would need to find that, but I thought it was worthy of a double-digit ban, as did many other people, says, to be fair.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, I wouldn't have argued if it had have come out and it was a 10-game ban. But, look, a 6-game ban, I think it's a fair result. I mean, Colton Freder gets 2 weeks holiday in Tenerife, fair play to him. and we move on. You know, it's Spiro Galakos still has concussion. I've seen him today. He hasn't trained. He's, you know, he doesn't know when he's going to be back initially. You know, he definitely has concussion compared to, you know, somebody mentioned last week that maybe that was being made up. Absolute nonsense. It's never good to joke about potential brain injuries from concussions. So I think the right decision was made overall. 6 games. Obviously, Spiro got reduced to 2. We'll move on.
Well, just one thing before we do move on, Paddy, there, obviously out in the media, it was either today or yesterday, Tony Smith is obviously at Colton Freder, will be speaking in the press, but he's very contrite about the, you know, the incident. He realises he's done wrong. He's going to take a 6 games in the chin. Obviously, he was happier to take a 1 game in the chin, but, you know, he's realised he probably has seen the footage of it again, and, you know, nobody likes to see the red mist coming down, especially when it's a video, and you do it in front of 5,000 people, and it goes global. It's not good for your CV. It's not good for your hockey career. You know, you don't want to be remembered. Colton Freder's a fantastic player in this league, and he wants to be remembered for what he does on the puck, rather than, like, you know, this was a major, major brain fart from him. Like, you don't get stupider than what he did there. He's going to have to take his ban on the chin. He's going to have to get his head back down and get back into the team and, you know, work his socks off to try and sort of whitewash what he done there. He's left Galakos with a brain injury. He can't walk away from that ever. You know, but what's done is done, and, you know, we all have to move on from it.
Yeah.
Davey, sorry, Paddy, just one thing. Davey touched on there how good a Colton Freder is. He's like, I think he's a class player. I would take him in a Giants uniform all day long. I think he's a great, great player. You know, but I was asked at the weekend, after Victoria had mentioned about the potential of Spiro Galakos taking legal action against Colton Freder. Now, you know, for me, that's not the right way to go. I just think if there's going to be a bad feeling in the next game and they both do play, you know what? First shift, get them out there, let it get in their system, and you move on. For me, what happens on the ice stays on the ice, and you basically, if you have to bring it back onto the ice in the next game because you've taken somebody's number, and that's what you do. That's the way I always play the game. You don't go down the line of legal action. I'm not arguing with Victoria. She's much more, you know, wiser with regards to concussions and brain injuries than I am and I'll ever be. But in my personal opinion, that doesn't happen. You just basically, you know, you just get out there and drop a gloves first shift and just knock a bag at each other. Get it over and done with.
I will give you your credit. Says last week when we did talk about it, you did say about Fred or how he was backing out of the zone and you thought it was a clean hit. That's the way it was actually assessed by the PSC. Davey, one final point, and it's something that Says brought up there as well, is coming back to Simon Kirkham. The way it was stated by the Elite League in their press release, it sounds like he was actually fired, removed from the role. Has he been thrown under the bus in this situation?
Ultimately, Simon is responsible for the decision to make it a one-match ban and to create this whole furore. And did he look at all the footage that was available, widely available, publicly available, because they were able to put that footage out with their press release after they made the decision. So that footage, if Simon Kirkham wanted to see good footage of that incident, there was plenty available. Sheffield do brilliant super slow-mos. They had every angle going. They had it on the night, full speed. They had the slow-mos. It was available to him. If Simon and Simon Kitchen there is also saying, Andy French, Murray Hansen also were involved in this, they're all equally as culpable. Dops in its current format is dead. You know, and if anything has come out of this, I don't know when it was that we had that first big debate, me and Coach, and, you know, Dops had been going for a little while then, and it said it was a dead duck then. You know, it is now. If this is what it took to move forward, and, you know, it also leaves Simon Kirkham's position as the head of referee, and obviously up for debate in the forthcoming, you know, league meeting that's going to happen. I think it's next week it's happening. So, you know, it's one of those things. If it's making progress for the league and it's putting player safety higher up the agenda, because, you know, whenever I do a meeting at work, the first thing on our agenda every time, and it sort of gets on my nerves at times, it's health and safety. The very first thing, before anything, before money, you know, I'm a QS, so I'm money driven. I want the money to be up there. We're making money. But the bosses want to, did everybody go home from work? Is everybody okay? And you have to be like that in ice hockey too, because, you know, Spiro has gone home from work, but he hasn't gone back to work since that game. Yeah. So player safety has to be paramount. We've got to remember that apart from this being a game, and a game that we all love, and we take it much more, you know, the old Shankly, it's not just a game, it's much more important than that. Or not a matter of life and death, it's not much more important than that. You know, these guys are doing this for a living, and one bad hit, or one naughty hit, and they've lost their career. And they're not making big money, and they don't have an awful lot to go to. You know, these guys that haven't gone through the Masters process and got a full career out of it, one bad hit, and it's game over for everybody. So, and as Sis was talking about there a wee minute ago, it only takes one of these guys to get a bad hit and go litigation, and the league's over as well. So I think the league have moved quickly there to say, look, Simon, you're getting paid to do this job. You're not doing it right. You can't seriously expect us to accept that that's a one-game ban. So we've had to move you on. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see if they keep going down this route and using this particular crowd, or will try and set up some sort of template and have people in the UK operate in this system, what way they'll go. But I think it's a step in the right direction, and I do, you know, I feel sorry for Simon. I don't like to see anybody losing a job or losing money, you know, but at the end of the day, he was paid to do a job and he just wasn't providing the service required.
We will see from this emergency board meeting in the next week or so what comes from it, and we'll report it back here on A View from the Bridge. Let's move on. And again, before we get to the weekend's games, there was another piece of news that the Giants announced the arrival of Adam Jones, a 6'1" defenceman who went straight into the lineup for the weekend in Scotland. He's only on a trial basis to help with the roster because it was decimated by injuries. 21-year-old. Says, what do you think?
He played some minutes. You can see that he hasn't skated for a while. I think I picked him up at the airport last week, and he was saying that he hadn't been on the ice nearly 10 days, actually. So, you know, when you've been out that long, and you're not getting any ice time, and then you're literally just on a bike or in the gym, it doesn't do your game any good. And, you know, he came on, I'm not too sure regarding figures what he was, plus minuses at the weekend. But you could see that he was probably not up to game speed, is the best way of looking at it for me. But, you know, he came on, he had some minutes up. And, you know, obviously, you know, getting Jim Vandermeer back from the weekend, which we'll go on to talk about in a minute, was absolutely huge, because even at, you know, 50 or 60%, Jim Vandermeer is just different gravy. Like, and I actually think I tweeted that during the game against the Clan on Saturday night. You could just see the class that the guy has. He's got that, you know, first yard or two in his head. He's just a different class. But as Adam came in, set up some minutes, didn't set the world alight, he did okay.
Davey, obviously, he signed with the Guildford Flames, but didn't really cut it there. And given how short we are, especially on D, it was a no-brainer.
Well, he obviously come into also as one of the under-23s, so, yeah. You know, it helps us that way. I could see him staying beyond those 2 weeks. Yes, as Simon said, he's a bit rusty in his first couple of... Didn't see a huge amount of ice time, to be fair. He did okay. Did what he had to do. He looks like a kid that has got a little bit of potential there. You know, he's got good size. Always goes well for you when you're playing back on the blue line there. You know, we've been built that kind of way this season, I suppose. Garson Mace aside, we've got size there. You know, Martinelli, Van der Meer, Rain, and those guys. And, you know, he's came in. And it's the proof of the pudding will be in the eating. You know, one weekend away to Scotland, you know, be interesting. Another weekend, another week's training under his belt, get himself a bit better. Because as Simon has said there, you sit on a bike and spin all you want and you lift all the weights you want, but it's getting the skates on and getting your feet moving underneath you and making those plays, getting your hands sharp again. So it's all positive. You know, we did need the bodies. British kid, he's been off the ice for a few weeks, so it's good to see him in there in a Belfast Giants uniform, and we'll keep an eye on him.
Absolutely. Well, then, as I say, he went straight into the lineup at the weekend, and let's talk about those games at the weekend. Games 2 and 3 of a 5-game road swing for the Belfast Giants. And first up on Saturday, we went to Brayhead Arena at the Shopping Centre to take on the Clan. A 4-3 win in overtime for the Belfast Giants. A pretty quick start for the Giants in the first 5 minutes, but unable to score. And then a bit of a nightmare over the next 15. The Brayhead Clan scored 3 quick goals. The Villa Hamilainen scored, followed by Brendan Brooks, and then that stalwart of the Brayhead Clan, Matty Haywood, put the Clan 3-0 up before Mark Garside, in the last minute of the period, pulled one back. In the second period, a lovely finish from Colin Shields made it 3-2. And in the third period, shorthanded and as cool as you like, John Kurtz goes up the ice unassisted to make it 3-3 into overtime. 3-on-3 overtime, as we're obliged to call it. Into overtime we go. And in the last, 40 seconds, a lovely finish from Jonathan Ferland to make it 4-3, and the Giants take the 2 points. In nets, Jackson Whistle for the Belfast Giants faced 17 shots and made 14 saves. And the other side, Ryan Nye, faced 35 shots and made 31 saves. Your referee was Pavel Hallis. And yes, Jim Vandermeer returned to the side. And says you were there doing the updates for AVFTB. Thanks very much for that. And it was, as I said, in that first period, 5 minutes of good and 15 minutes of a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, Paddy, I'll be honest, you know, I know we were 3 down at that. I mean, getting with, I think it was about the 18-minute mark. But, you know, they had 2 chances and scored 3 goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that sounds, that's, I know it sounds Irish, but, you know, they genuinely did have, they scored 2 goals on 2, okay, scoring chances. And the third one, I think Jackson's going to want that back. You know, he it sort of, you know, sneaked past him and without much of an effort. But, you know, coming back into the game again, I mean, there was everybody in the Giants, there was a really good Giants crowd there. At the weekend, both at the Clan and in Edinburgh the night after. And I actually did tweet, because there was everybody just, you know, they're ranting and raving, oh my God, this is ridiculous, we're 3-0 down and we're not playing that bad. And I tweeted out, have faith, people have faith. 15 seconds later, we scored a goal. Should tweet that every week. But, the you know, we honestly, as soon as we scored that first goal, I honestly did not think we were going to lose that game. We played very, very well. I touched on it when we were talking about Adam Jones. Jim Vandermeer is just unbelievable. And I know he's not 100% fit. I spoke to him after the game on Sunday night, and he was telling me how he's feeling. And let's just say that, you know, he's going to have a couple of days rest this week. But he was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant. Then you've got Davey touched on Garside, Mason, and Brandon Benedict. Defensively, again, yes, we conceded the 3 goals. But after conceding the 3 goals, I think they had maybe 2, possibly 3 good scoring chances the rest of the game. Brayhead are not the team they have been over the last number of years, and John Tripp's come in, and whether or not they're not playing for him or he's missing a few bodies. I see he added somebody, some Czech guy in the last 24 hours. And for me, honestly, I honestly did not think we were going to lose that game after we got the first goal from Mark Garside. And we went on and pushed. We played very well defensively after that. Jackson, you know, 16 shots, 17 shots the whole game. Just goes to show he didn't have an awful lot to do. And I think Davey mentioned there were two shots in the third period. Is that right?
Yeah,
two shots.
Two shots against by the home team in the third period just shows how good the Giants were on Saturday night.
Davey, your thoughts?
I'm with Simon. The first goal, we're master of our own downfall kind of in that first period. The first goal is as bad a line change as you will ever see in hockey. Those guys should be made to sit and watch that video on repeat ad infinitum. It was awful. They're breaking down center ice and three forwards are just skating. One of our forwards skates through the play to get to the bench. Can't remember if it's Furley or Curtsy. Just goes, sort of tries to get out of the way of their guy coming down the ice. One of our D-men has jumped on and he's jumping off. It's just a complete confusion and they get in and score. It's the second one, they get in front a wee bit easy, and the third one, there's no doubt, Jackson will be pretty disappointed. It's a fairly soft wrist shot from sort of 60, 70 feet that sort of handcuffs him and ends up in the back of net. So we had left ourselves a big, big hill to climb, but credit the boys. That goal from Garside just before the end of the third, our first period, was crucial to go in with something on the board. 5-on-5, we were dominant. They were perimeter the whole game. Jackson had very, very little to do, and that's one thing about a goaltender. And Edwin van der Sar, Liverpool fans probably wouldn't understand this, but the likes of Edwin van der Sar over years had to concentrate so hard because he saw so little of the ball during the game that when it came to him, he had to be honest. And Jackson came up massive in 3-on-3 overtime. We were good. It was a bit of counterpunching at that stage because there's so much room on the ice, and you give the puck away, you're probably giving up a goal scoring opportunity. And Jackson had to make two, maybe three saves in overtime to keep us in the game. And then Ferdy's got away a lovely little feed out from Mace down the boards, a little bounce play, and he goes in and sticks it 5-hole. And we come away a greasy road win. Wasn't pretty, didn't need to be. This 5-game road swing doesn't need to be pretty. We just have to find out some way of getting the points. And we did.
Absolutely. He says over the last few weeks, we've been talking about Sebastian Sylvester from the fact that he's been scoring some belter goals and some really skillful play. But in this game, a fighting major, a slashing minor, fighting with Craig Sescon. And then he was ejected with a match for headbutting.
Yeah, it's not one of his better moves. The fight with Sescon, to be honest, it sort of gave us a bit of a spark. And, Sebastian, he didn't get many punches in. And Sescon's, we've seen him scrapping before. I don't think actually Sebastian has seen him scrapping before. But, Sebastian came looking for it.
Yeah.
He was getting the initial 2 minute for slashing, I think it was. And then, he didn't back away from him. Sebastian, I think, was the instigator in the fight itself, so it sort of did give us a bit of a spark, and obviously the headbutt, it's a touching of helmets. It's a stupid move by Sebastian. He's dealt a, he's obviously been handed a match penalty, which means he missed Sunday's night game, and after seeing the footage of it, there's nothing else in it, and obviously that was proven right with the decisions from Dops coming in the last 24 hours as well. So, silly boy, we do not need to be making those moves. We don't need to be taking those penalties. We've taken far too many stupid misconduct penalties this year. It needs to stop. But Davey keeps on going on about it, saying it's a passionate game and you do things at the spur of the moment. But the guys need to learn, and they need to learn quick, because we just can't keep on going down that line of getting down to 8 forwards and 4 defence at one stage with penalties. And obviously, Kiefer had to come off. I haven't touched about Kiefer yet, but obviously, he had to play minutes. And his first shift was the last shift of the period when we scored the goal in the first period itself. And to be honest, I thought he was excellent when he came on. He was busted at the end of the night. Spoke to him after for the interview after the game. And he had to, because Sebastian was thrown out right on the end of the second period itself, he had to play a regular shift in the third. And you could see, like, you know, he hasn't been training. He hasn't, you know, he's certainly missed being on the ice with the guys. But, you know, fair play to him. He definitely gave us a spark when he came on, and it lifted the whole Giants fan base that were there at the weekend as well. And it's always good to win in the shopping centre, which for the first time in a long time when I've seen Belfast Giants games there was absolutely nowhere near full.
Well, there maybe that brings me on to my next point, I suppose. There was one other person ejected from that game that came at the very end, once the Giants had taken the win, and that was John Tripp, Davey, who was given a game misconduct for abusive official. Now, the Brayhead clan have two wins in their last 10 games. They're really not cutting the mustard in a minute. Why, from you've watched this game back with regards statistically as well, why do you think that the clan are failing so badly at the minute?
I can only speak for Saturday night's game because I've watched it. And, you know, that was down to the Belfast Giants' defensive performance and the shape we held them, as I said earlier in my piece. You know, we kept them perimeter, but didn't give them shots on target. But I can see why Tripp got through out of the game in that overtime just before we scored. Darcy Murphy is back-checked, and it's a proper hooking call. Like, it's probably one of the easiest calls of the night. Puck gets turned over the corner, comes to Macy, chips it up a board, Farland goes in, bangs it in the net. If it had happened to us, I'd imagine Adam Keefe would have wanted to be on the ice trying to sort, you know, it was really, really blatant. One of those things, some go for you, some go against you. And this instance, you know, the penalty wasn't called. We've came out the good side of it. So, you know, but he had been chirping the referee nonstop for about 15, 20 minutes. Somebody else got an abusive, who was it?
Josh Greaveson.
Josh Greaveson gets an abusive official, but I think Josh Greaveson gets it and sits it for Tripp because it's Tripp that's going on. He's trying to call it.
Is it?
Yeah, just from watching it back, he's trying to call a timeout and he's going, and his language is atrocious. Pavel Halas has said, no, you're too slow to call it out, because he tried to call it way, they're just about to drop the biscuit, and he's timeout, and the camera zoomed in on him and he's really going to town on the old language. So eventually the ref has enough and says, you know what, you're going to have a penalty, and gives it Josh Greaves, and obviously sits it for him, and that sort of got in his head then. So we, whatever, 14, 15 minutes later, Giants score the winning goal, and he obviously goes a wee bit berserk and gets a 10 plus game. I think he ends up with half an hour of penalty minutes. But one of those, why they're not performing, I do not know, because, you know, there's some decent names in their lineup. They've got this thing, and through their first number of years as a franchise, they change their coach, and maybe it's a continuity thing that there's too many new bodies coming in and too many new systems, and, you know, it's all just too new. You know, they went through that in their first number of years, and this was all set up for how many years now? What is it, 3 or 4 years been going? Clan are the team to beat every year. They've got an easier conference, allegedly. They've got, you know, it should be set up for them to win the thing. But as Mr. Kitchen has said there, they were not a good hockey team. 5-on-5, we absolutely bossed that game. If we hadn't put ourselves in that 3-0 hole, I dare say it would have been quite a wide margin. But, you know, the Giants had to fight back, and, you know, credit the clan a little bit. You know, they took the opportunities that came their way in that first period. They got themselves up the lead. You're 3-0 up at home and you've got 3,000 people backing you. You shouldn't be coming out of that with a loss.
Absolutely. He says, you know, you watched the clan through a haze of Heineken. What did you think?
To be honest, I mean, I think that Tripp, John Tripp, really started to lose it 25 seconds into the game, because they were called on the two guys getting thrown out of the circle, and they were called a 2-minute delay again for it.
Yeah.
And I was looking over the bench because I was watching, you know, what it's like when you're trying to update people at home, if there's no webcast and you're trying to keep them up to date with the tweets that we're sending tonight. I just looked, as soon as I called it, I looked over the bench, and he's remonstrating with the referee 25 seconds into the game, which is never good.
But, says, sorry to cut across you there. It's one of my absolute bugbears is they'll throw somebody out of a face-off circle. The guy that comes in will do something stupid as well. And they don't toss him out. You know, I don't know how many opportunities they had. The lino was saying, you know, guys, this is the first face-off of the game. Sort yourselves out. Gets tossed out. I think it's Tyler Shatlock comes in. And he just does a complete 180 sweep. And the ref's just, you know what? this is, and they've really, really stamped down on it in the NHL this season. There's been an enormous amount of delay of game penalties in the NHL, and they're starting to get the message. I read an interview, I think it was with Gus Nyquist, saying, you know, it was, or it might have been Albuquerque, I can't remember, one of the Detroit guys anyway, was saying, you know, they were really having to work on face-offs and practice and coming in and squaring yourself up and just doing it right. We've got some guys in our team who can be a wee bit guilty of pushing the line, but you've got the likes of Matt Myers and stuff in Cardiff who are absolute experts in what they can get away with in the face-off circle. And, you know, it's an absolute bugbear of mine. It was the absolute crack call to throw him out.
But the other part of it was in the second period, the goalie got a two-minute for illegal use of equipment. I don't know if it was a stick or I don't know if it was fight stop wasn't done up. I really don't know. But he got that. And then they got the thing. I mean, because he was ranting and raving and not getting the timeout, he really wasn't in good form the rest of the night. So, you know, with being thrown out of the game right on the final whistle after the OT and getting a, you know, 10-play misconduct for abusive officials plus a game misconduct, it wasn't John Tripp's night. But, you know, again, we slag our referees when, you know, well, to be honest, we slag them every week. But, you know, I thought Pavel Halas had a reasonably good game. You know, he tried to let the guys play, and when he needed to make the calls, he made them. And you know, it turns out again that we got a bit of luck and once or twice. But you've got to take your luck when it comes along. But the most important thing is you've got to capitalize on it. And we've had a bit of bad luck this season so far. You get the good luck, you go ahead with it, and you try and capitalize on it. So move on.
Absolutely. Well, you can get the highlights of that from Clan TV. They're lumped together with their game against the Sheffield Steelers, but you can find them on YouTube. And then quick journey down the M8 to take on the Edinburgh Capitals in the lavish surroundings of Murrayfield Ice Rink. Before coming into this game, the Edinburgh Capitals had a few roster departures. I think it was four days before, Taylor Steffensen, Duncan Spears and Julius Nyquist all had left the club with immediate effect. It seemed to come quite out of the blue. But anyway, coming back to the game, the short bench Belfast Giants up against the short bench Edinburgh Capitals, I suppose. And the Giants took another 4-3 win, this time in regulation. Scoring was opened by Ran Martinelli in the first minute of the game, just 40 seconds into the first period. And Steve Saviano, about 40 seconds later, made it 2-0. It looked like the Giants were up and cruising, but it wasn't that easy. Ismailov scored for the Capitals 10 minutes into the first, and then Harry Ferguson levelled proceedings before that first period was over. Into the second period, and with Aaron Robinson sitting a high stick in call, Matt Bissonnette scores for the Belfast Giants on the power play. In the third period, Igor Valiev levels it up once again with just a little under 10 minutes to go in the game. And a few minutes later, that man back in the lineup on the power play, Jim Vandermeer, with a lovely finish to make it 4-3. In goals, Jackson Whistle, back-to-back wins for him, 28 shots, 25 saves. Jordan McLaughlin was in nets for the Edinburgh Capitals, 29 shots, 25 saves. Your referee, Toby Craig. Maybe we'll have a comment about that in a bit. But Davey, the Giants, a brilliant start, but then just sort of levelled off.
Yeah, we're a funny old bunch at the minute. We have games where we come out and blast teams away in the first 10 minutes. We're going to be 2 or 3 up, and we know from Saturday night we've also games that we can leave ourselves an absolute mountain to climb. And to our credit, that we have, you know, came out of the games that we've been behind as well on a few occasions this season with the points. And yep, I felt a little bit for Jordan McLaughlin after sort of what 120 seconds of the game, and maybe not even that much, 82 seconds of the game, 2-0 down, and you know, you think your backup goalie's in here, we're in for this plus 7.5 that I have with Bet365 looking good. And you know, I was thinking I was going to be in the clover because I had the Caps for a few goals as well, and they came up in the first 13 minutes of the game, and thought it was going to be one of those nights. But It was a slugfest. You talked about us keeping, or sorry, I talked about us keeping the clan to the outside. Caps came right down the middle of the ice. Time and time again, they just said, you know what, we're just going to give it a go here. We're 2-0 down with nothing to lose. And you listen to the Edinburgh Capital commentators, they were absolutely thrilled to bits at the end of the first period as how their team had performed, even though they'd gone 2-0 down quickly, how they'd got back in the game. And I know it's a goal against us, but I love seeing things like, you know, the Caps second goal, Harry Ferguson, I think. Was it the Edinburgh Capitals game I commentated on you with in Belfast, Simon?
Yeah.
Don't think he got a shift. And now, due to roster changes, he's having to come in here and he's getting a goal. And he's assisted by Callum Robertson and Jay King. You know, young lads from Edinburgh. And the joy they had, see, when they scored that goal, you would literally think they had scored a winning goal in the Stanley Cup final, the way they celebrated. You know, and I loved it. I'm a passionate sports fan, apart from being a Giants man. You know, I love the emotion of sport. So I was credit to those young guys for getting that. But, you know, the Giants had the battle away and they got up again. Edinburgh, to their credit, pegged them back. But then Vandy comes up with the winning goal just to seal what was another, could have been an easier road win than needed to be, but another, just a bit like the clan, a greasy road win where you had to do what you had to do to get the points. And thankfully, we've came out of Murrayfield. You would expect it to be a wee bit... if you look at the likes of Paddy Power and all, we're offering 25-1 on for the Giants, so they were expecting a bit of an easier night.
Well, obviously with Shigalo being suspended for this game, Simon, you know, and Jordan McLaughlin stepping in, did everybody expect an easier night than the Belfast Giants made it?
Yeah, to be honest with you, you know, again, Paddy's touched on, you know, sticking a few quid on the goal count and what have you. So after 2-0 up after two shifts, you're sitting thinking this is going to be pretty easy here tonight. And I have to admit, I did think that, but the chance just stopped. They literally just stopped. However, you've got to give massive, massive credit to the Edinburgh Capitals. You know, Davies just touched on Harry Ferguson and Callie Robertson. I was speaking to Callie's dad, Robbo Wayne Robertson, after the game. And you know, the kids went on that road, you know, the road trip last week. They're trying to, you know, basically join up with the guys, get some ice time when they come along. He's just turned 17. You know, Harry Ferguson's a young lad. Jordan McLaughlin just turned 18 last Wednesday. You know, and he played really, really well. You know, he didn't get any help at all for the first two goals, none whatsoever. And then the defence sort of turned up and you know, tried to make it a bit easier for the kid, let him see the puck. And he came up with a really big save. I think it was about 6 or 7 minutes in, a slap shot from Jim Vandermeer. Really, really good save. And that, you could see that gave him a bit of confidence. But moving on, you know, getting 2-2 at the end of the first period, the Capitals were definitely getting the better and the happier team. And then, obviously, the Giants, you know, get that goal, Bissonnette tip, Shed's slap shot from the point then and giving them, you know, a 3-2 lead. And you're sitting thinking, right, okay, you know, we're comfortable here. It's not, you know, you're not overly stretching yourselves. You've got three lines and just, you know, you just roll them when you can. And then Cap scored again, you know, just halfway through a third period. You're sitting going, for God's sake, you know, this needs knocking the head. Callum Boyd took a 2-minute penalty in the third, and Jimbo scored just an absolute laser top corner to get the four goals. And once we got the fourth goal, okay, there had a couple of slight chances. I wouldn't call them quality scoring chances, but, you know, I think we've seen the game out. And I know Adam certainly wasn't overly happy with the performance, but he's talked about it in the last few weeks, winning on the road ugly. That definitely was an ugly win. I really enjoyed the game as a spectator in the arena, or in the whatever that was, on Sunday night. You know, I really enjoyed the game, and I really enjoyed the clan game the night before as well. And you certainly, you know, it's always better when you win, but coming away, 4-point weekend, that's the most important thing.
Davey, Toby Craig came in for a lot of criticism the last time we had him in a game. Did he perform any better in this one?
I think there was a few, what would we call them, Simon? Softies calls?
That's the one thing that Toby Craig has always been consistent on. Soft calls.
You know, there was
30 years.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, but that's at the same time, and I know it's difficult. It's more difficult for guys who are coming in and learning new referees. Our guys that are here should know, you put your stick horizontal, you're getting called for a hook. And, you know, or, you know, you put somebody stands in your stick and they're going over, you're getting called for tripping. All those little easy penalties for him to call. He kind of, at times, Simon and I would be critical and say that he would shy away from making big calls. that can affect the game, whereas he will call a simple trip, or he'll call the, like the slash, for example. I think it was in Kirchy, gets a slash for not very much in it. Shade's interference call, nothing in it. You know, I think Brendan.
Oh, you're right. You know the call, was it the start of the third period on John Kurtz, the guy skates across the tram tracks? I think it was Teslukovic. Kurtzy didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. And he called him for that. He didn't even see it. He did not see the call. He was looking in a complete other direction.
Yeah.
And he just made the call because the kid ended up on his backside. So
it's a bit like the Sheds one and at an 8 minute mark of the game. The guy dumps it in. Sheds moves maybe 6 inches and the guy catches his arm on the way past and gets called for interference. Brendan Connolly's tangled up behind the net. He goes in for a forecheck, kind of misses it a wee bit. Guy has a bit of a slash at him. He has a bit of a crosscheck. Connolly gets called for crosschecking and he barely touches the guy's jersey and it's 50 feet behind the play. It wasn't interfering with anybody.
That's going on camera, do we?
It's on camera, aye.
Okay. To be honest, I thought he got that right. I thought
I'm not saying it's not okay. I'm not saying it wasn't a cross check, but it was the kind of it was two players doing stuff to each other, even up call or call none of them. It was just a soft call and one that I'm sure the coach will look back in the tape and go, Brendan, come on. But he'll probably be saying Toby, come on as well, because you just sometimes I think that he neglects to call the big game, the big incidents that can affect the game and calls little ones that end up affecting the game.
The Giants, now say, well, that's game 2 and 3 of a 5-game road swing, and you know that's 3 wins so far. And that weekend, that's 2 ground-out wins. You said it earlier on, Davey, they don't need to be pretty, they just need to be wins.
Absolutely. At the minute, this road swing, and we've talked about our schedule over the course of the year, we have to find some way of going 5-6, 6-50 on the road up to Christmas if we can. Because if we're in the mix come the 1st of January and we know what we've got to come ahead of us, you know, Cardiff Devils talked about this at the start of the season about even their recruitment, because they were recruiting based on Belfast Giants, you know, schedule. Everybody has to play 30 home, 30 away, roughly that. But we have got this front-loaded away swing and the back-loaded home swing, and you should win more of your home games. You should, percentage-wise, you should. You just should. It's just stats should back that up, that you win more games at home than you do away. We're this road warrior team. We have been for, 5 or 6 years now, and we're doing well at the minute, despite, okay, the caps were 4 or 5 short, but you look at some of the players that missed out for us, and the likes of Vandy coming back was crucial. But, you know, we need to just, we've now got November, December, we've got 8 incredibly big weeks of this season coming up, and there's a lot of games in the next 8 weeks. And as I say, if we can come out some way on the 1st of January and touching distance, I know that'll annoy the likes of Andy and that, you know, me saying, oh, we shouldn't be in touching distance, we should be walking away the league in January, but it's not that simple. When you're on the road and you're down the bodies we are at this stage of the season, if we can come out 1st of January and we are in somehow touching distance of the top of this league, we're very, very well set.
Simon?
Yeah, I was looking at this today. So far, we've played 13 games in the league, 3 of them at home, and we've won all 3. On the road, we're 500. And, you know, it's a long, long way to go before the end of the season. And, you know, there's certainly a couple of those games in away losses that, you know, the first away game was the Milton Keynes. And to be honest, I actually thought they totally deserved that win. And that's probably one of the games that we actually haven't turned up for. And then we had Sheffield twice away. Nottingham first game we lost, it was a real tight one. The second game, you know, I think they probably got the better of us. And obviously the result after the Cardiff a win away and cup playing Coventry the next night was really disappointing. And it's probably a game that you obviously just want to completely erase from your mind. But I think Davey's 100% right. You know, the next 6 to 8 weeks for us is it's massive, absolutely massive. You know, 3 more home games this month, and then nothing until the 29th of December.
Yeah.
So, you know, the guys are going to have to knuckle down, you know, getting used to traveling over. And I think there's a couple of games. This weekend's Friday and Saturday, so they've got the Sunday off. You know, and that means that they're, for the first time this season, they're getting Sunday, Monday, and potentially, you know, I think Adam might, you know, reward them if they do get 2 wins this weekend and give them the Tuesday off. So that's 3 days off. which, you know, after playing so much hockey, with the amount of time and the guys are actually having to spend on the ice and extra minutes because of being short-bodied, getting that extra day off is you know, music to your ears. So, you know, two big games this weekend, which we're going to go on and talk about. But we will, in the next 7 to 8 weeks, I think Davey's spot on with his assumption that if we, you know, if we can be there or thereabouts come Christmas time, we're definitely in with a real good stretch down the road at home.
Of course, the highlights of the game, the Sunday's game, Caps TV, that'll be on YouTube. I don't know if it's on there yet, but it will be. One last thing before we do move on, says is the away support for the Belfast Giants had this weekend seemed fantastic.
Tell you what, you sent me a message about it. Give me a why.
Yeah. Honestly,
it's brilliant. Big Ben Ewing starts it, you know, and he gulders it out, and everybody, you know, obviously repeats it. I, honest to God, I mean, I had a few drinks on Saturday night, and I've heard it before.
I did
quite a few. I've heard it before, but you don't hear it when you're at the SSE because you've got the headphones on and you're doing the commentating. But away matches, I love it. Like, I think it's absolutely brilliant, and Ben's superb at it, and he starts it off and gives it the golder, and then obviously everybody joins in with a big mad yo at the end of it. Brilliant. And the crowd, I mean, there was probably in excess of 100 fans of both nights, and it's always good to see. It gives you a bit of a boost as a player, you know, these away fans coming, you know, your fans traveling on the road with you and you know, coming up and trying to get autographs after games and photographs. And the guys are great that way as well. And you know, so many people stay behind at Edinburgh. There's no access to them at Braehead, obviously, but, you know, staying behind at Edinburgh and all the guys, you know, nobody gets turned away. They get photographs and autographs and what have you. But the crowd this weekend was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, the give me a away chant has always been a favourite of mine. I think I remember we first had it way back in playoffs years and years ago. It was always a belter. But yes, a really good.
Sorry, Paddy, there's another one. Your dad sells Avon.
Your dad sells Avon.
Brilliant. Absolutely class. Like, loved it.
Yeah, always great support, especially in those Scottish doubleheaders. Right, let's move on to quick interviews. Says had the opportunity to catch up with Adam Keefe, but first, we hear from Curtsy.
Curtsy, another 4-point weekend. Low on bodies, but certainly not on spirit.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big weekend for us point-wise. I don't think we played as well as we could have in both games. But, you know, we managed to squeeze out two big wins for us. And we got to get a couple of healthy bodies in the lineup this week. And, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to Friday and Saturday.
Friday, Dundee, and then Saturday in Fife. You know, another two teams that you faced already this season, and two big tasks ahead of you.
Yeah, another two teams. I think we beat them both earlier in the season. And, you know, if we play our game, you know, for a full 60 minutes, I don't think we'll have any problems with them.
This week, you've had a couple of days training. Any new bodies back that we can report to hopefully look forward to seeing this weekend?
I don't know if I have the power to say names yet. You might want to ask the head coach about that. But I'm expecting one or two, maybe.
Good man, John. Thanks very much indeed. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Adam, just after another weekend, low on bodies, but the team came to play both against Braehead and Edinburgh, and you must be happy with the 4 points.
Yeah, definitely happy with the 4 points. I think we could have been better, for sure. But like I said, at the end of the day, it doesn't got to be pretty. We got to find a way to get points, and the guys did that ultimately at the end of the day, so I'm super happy with another 4-point weekend, and you know, now we've forgotten about that and we're on to this weekend.
Dundee, Friday, Fife, Saturday, two difficult buildings to go into. Have you any news on any bodies coming back this weekend?
Oh, so I mean, there's some guys skating this week, and to me they look good, and I think that now it's on the our medical staff to give clearance, whether or not they're actually able to play in a game situation and take contact. That's for our medical staff to decide. So still kind of day-to-day, and we'll see where we're at after tomorrow's practice and reevaluate, and I'll be waiting in the wings.
You're roughly a quarter way through the season. Are you happy with the way things have gone so far, or are you looking more out of your players? Obviously, you've been short-benched, but are you looking more from the group that you have?
I think we took us at least a month to really kind of get going and figure out what type of team we were and figure out what type of coach I am and want to be. And I'm still learning every day. It's a new day for me and new experiences and having to go through all the injury trouble and suspensions and, you know, all different types of scenarios. But no, right now, yeah, I'm super happy with these guys. And I think that it comes down to the recruitment. You know, you're not quite sure when we start the season off with a loss, and you know, you go through some growing pains, and you know, you win or you learn, kind of scenario. And I thought we did learn. We have learned lessons for the most part, and I think we continue to get better every week, and that's all I can ask for, really. I think this team, when fully fit, can certainly be a tough team to beat, and I think we've seen that down bodies as well. So. I'm real happy with this group and looking forward to the time when we can have a full body, a full bench, and see what we really have.
Is Adam Keefe dressing this weekend?
I hope not. The body's a little sore this week. I guess that's what happens when you get off the couch and jump into Elite League action. But I hope not. I hope we get some bodies back. You know, like I said before, I'll be ready to contribute if I have to and help the guys at least eat some minutes for them. But I have full faith in the players that we do have in this locker room. And if we can get a couple of them back, I'll be back on the bench.
It's time once again for the A View from the Bridge Player of the Month for October, sponsored by Funicab. Just the other day we opened nominations and you sent in your names by the hundreds. From those names, we drew up the following shortlist. Number 1, Jackson Whistle. Number 63, Brendan Connolly. Number 74, Matt Toe. And number 88, Ryan Martinelli. Voting has begun and you have until Friday at 5 p.m. to get your vote and choose who you believe should be October's Player of the Month, sponsored by Phonicab at AVFTB on Twitter, or go to twitter.com/AVFTB and also check out our Facebook page, A View from the Bridge, all for links on how you could cast your vote and see who succeeds Sebastian Silvestre as the A View from the Bridge Player of the Month. Get voting. Right, so lads, Player of the Month, Connolly, Martinelli, who seems to be up every month, Toe and Whistle. A quick one, Sizz, who's your pick?
Matt Toe. I think he's been excellent. 3-man of the match. He was disappointed to miss out this past weekend. Seen him in practice this morning. He's hoping to be good to go this weekend and be great to have him back again. I think Marty's been, if he doesn't get it, you know, if Matt Toe doesn't get it, I think Marty should get it. I think he's been pretty, you know, the amount of time he spent on the ice and the amount of minutes he's clocked up, he's been playing really, really well this month. So if for me, it's Matt Toe, very, very closely followed by Ryan Martinelli.
Divi?
For me, Ryan Martinelli, very, very closely followed by Matty Toe. I think Marty has had to carry so much burden this month with the amount of D-men that have been out in and around him, and he's had to be the leader in that D-core. You know, guys have gone down. We don't need to name them. Everybody knows what's happened. But Marty, you know, he leads the team in shots blocked and hits, and he's doing everything. He puts those big size 12 or whatever size feet you are in the lanes, and he gets a stick in there. He's maybe, if I want to be ultra critical, he's maybe taken a few undisciplined penalties this month at certain times in games he couldn't maybe thought twice about. But apart from that, I think he's had a pretty solid month. Toe, as Simon said, away in Cardiff that Saturday night, he had man of the match sewn up after 28, 29 minutes. Halfway through the second period, I thought this guy's man of the match tonight. And I was very, very pleased to see him. Same recognize that right? With that, and as you say, three man of matches a month, he can do no wrong. He puts the bins out, he'll be, you know, in the clover at home as well.
I think I have to agree with you, gents. It's a very close call between, all due respect to Jackson Whistle, who's done really well, and Brenton Conley, who I really like as a player. I think it's very close between Martinelli and Matt Toe. I have cast my vote, and I did actually put it for Matt Toe. But I think those two guys have been top notch in October. We will see. The poll is open until Friday afternoon, and we'll be presenting the trophy sponsored by Funicab at the next home game. Around the league, very briefly, lads, because I'll be honest with you, I'm winging it tonight. So, there were five different incidents reviewed by the PSC. And once again, we've got five very detailed responses from them. In summary, Levi Nelson, no further action for the hit between Brayhead Clan and Sheffield Steelers. Between Dundee Stars and Guildford Flames, Brian Hart, no further action to be taken. Brayhead Clan, Belfast Giants, that headbutt was Sebastian Silvestre. They've determined that the on-ice call was sufficient. No further action. On the Sheffield Steelers Clan game again, this time the one on Sunday, Zach Fitzgerald, the on-ice call sufficient. No further action. And meanwhile, the Elite League Department said automatic reviewed a 5+ game penalty against Coventry Blaze Brett Robinson. And following the review, the player safety has determined that the on-ice call was upheld. The body check was deemed illegal and is quite detailed. He will be assessed 3 games. Guildford Flames against Coventry, Coventry against the Milton Keynes Lightning, and away to the Milton Keynes Lightning as well. And we have an explanatory video for once. Dops is actually giving us detail. So
just on that, why could the Dops and its current guys,
yes,
Simon Kirkham with the backing of Rob McGregor and Craig in a PR or Seth when he was doing it, why did it just have to be that was a hit to the head? Here's the hit to the head rule. We're going to ban him for 2 games.
That's it.
Couldn't it be he's raised his elbow through the hit? He's gone in with a tuck, but he's extended it up. He's jumped off his skates. He's raised. He's elevated in the hit. What was wrong with doing that?
We did do that. Do you remember we had incidents where they were showing that and it sort of just fell by the wayside? Remember they even got to a point where they were showing you that you could see the reflection of the player in the glass at one point?
That one, yes.
Do you remember? So you were seeing explanations, and at some point that stopped. And then we just got lazy. At some point that stopped, and all we got was the video explanation became, here's the video of the game, and here's us patronizingly reading you that's unfair, sorry, to Craig and to Rob, but it was just a case of, and here's the rule that you didn't know.
This has got, it also had to be done. There had to be an element of cash in it, because we talked about this before and said, you know, it was £250 for a supplemental review. If it wasn't changed at all, you know, you didn't get your money back. I am absolutely certain under the current guise of Dops, if it had been Simon Kirkham, etc., doing that, that hitting Brayhead would have been, it's not a suspension, but we're upgrading it to 2-minute roughing call or 2-minute boarding call, whatever.
You could
have your money back. These guys are now, we're obviously paying for this service, Lyle Seats and his guys. Don't know what the cost will be involved, but it's money really well spent.
100%. Couple of personnel things. A disappointing one. Lillestrøm Karlsson at the Guildford Flames has had to end his career due to concussion, which in the last week, with all everything that's gone on, is quite apt. And Davey, you brought up the fact, you know, player safety and the guys going home safe. This guy, he's only, 24 years old? He's had to stop the game. But when it comes to your own health, that's far more important.
Got it for him. He's probably absolutely destroyed himself, and you know, he's been skating probably since a very, very small child, and it's been his dream to play
for the Guildford Flames.
Maybe not for the Guildford Flames, but to play hockey as his profession, and to get there and be a hockey player and to live that lifestyle, and to have to give it up at 24 when, okay, he's not being paid a king's ransom, but he's doing it for a living, and you know, 8 or 9 months a year he's getting to do that. And it's just so disappointing. As we said earlier on, player safety and building. Simon runs a firm there. But how many cab drivers do you know, Simon? Hundreds?
900.
900. The most important thing to your business is that every one of those taxi drivers goes home safe at night and their passengers.
100%.
And, you know, and it's important to make money, and it's important to be good at your job, and it's important to phone a cab and maintain that position as the number one taxi firm. Lovely, man. You know, but, you know, I know I'm being facetious there, but, you know, it's all your commercial stuff is important. But the most important thing is that people that you work for enjoy what they do and they go home safely at night. And disappointingly for this kid, he's had a bang too many lay and he's got to pack it in. Sad.
Then is the PayPal details. Davey will sort you out. But, David, you know, one of the things about that Carson thing that was absolutely bang out of order was the Manchester Storm putting that video out
back
their captain. What a bunch of, you can bleep that out. That absolutely ridiculous. Putting that out there when the kid, a 24-year-old kid, career is finished because of that player, bang out of order.
Yeah, disappointing. Other personnel-wise, Clan have announced a D-man in Mikael Gutwald. He came in the last few weeks. He's where's he play? He's a Czech Republic native. You can tell I'm basically reading this off the Elite League website at the minute. Sorry about that. The Milton Keynes Lightning have confirmed that O'Dominy has left the club by mutual agreement. That's obviously brought in, and Mika Vikman is doing such a good job for them that he's had to go. And another disappointing one is Kevin Gibson of the Milton Keynes Lightning has had to depart due to a family illness, and he goes back to the States. Looking at the scores from around the league, some actually real standout ones. The leading Manchester Storm hammered the Edinburgh Capitals 9-0. The Fife Flyers took an overtime win over the Sheffield Steelers 2-1 in Fife, and something maybe we'll talk about later because that's a really difficult place to go. Nottingham Panthers, just before their trip back into Europe, a 3-2 win over the Blues and a 4-3 home win over the Milton Keynes Lightning, while the Sheffield Steelers took on the Brayhead Clan for, well, their third, both of them having their third game in three nights, but the Steelers destroying the Clan 6-0. Any really standout things for you, Davey?
Nah, didn't even know that stuff that you just read out. It's coming as news to me, Paddy.
There, Simon?
You know what? I do, Paddy. I think that we need to touch on the Milton Keynes Lightning. They're 8-0 at home.
Yeah, they are.
You know, that's absolutely phenomenal. You've got to give massive, massive credit to Pete Russell and his troops. You know, for a team coming into the league for the first year and winning their first 8 games at home is, you know, it's, well, there was a lot of people who would have wrote them off before the season started. But I think, you know, he deserves a massive, massive pat on the back. And you know, we've got to go there in a few weeks' time and to play again. They've already beat us there. They beat Cardiff. They beat Sheffield there as well. You know, they're definitely a team they need to keep an eye out for. And they don't travel as well as obviously they want to play at home. But really, really, you know, I think it's phenomenal what they've done there so far.
Davey, you know, the Manchester Storm still top of the league, a 9-0 win at home. Before that, the Milton Keynes Lightning did take that 3-2 win from them in Milton Keynes. Are the Storm there on merit?
If points in the bag, you know, they've had to face the teams and they've had to take the points. The league is, you know, don't want to go on over stuff we talked about last week and the old cliche of parity, but you know, the league is tight and these teams have, you know, over the first couple of months of the season have risen to the top. I genuinely don't think unless something changes in my mind that the Manchester Storm will be able to hold out up there. I still see the Cardiff Devils, the Sheffield Steelers. Yeah, it would be like to say this, but I think the Panthers, you know, will come strong as well once they get this other tournament thing they're involved in out of the way. But you know, Belfast Giants, I'm hoping also will be thereabouts come the new year. It's going to be exciting time. These teams aren't here to make up the numbers anymore. You know, I mean, caps aside, they've obviously had their tribulations last week with all these imports. And why did that happen? Why have they all decided to leave? And you know, I'd love to get Neil Russell on because, you know, he was the one that hammered the Caps for years and then he's saying how delighted he is to see them put on a roster together in August, September time, and unfortunately they've gone before the Halloween decorations are down. And it's one of those, they're there on merit at the minute. 8-0 at home is a great thing. We're 3-0 at home. Hopefully we'll be 8-0 at home as well. You know, home form's crucial. If those teams can stay strong at home and get something on the road, they're certainly going to be playoff contenders.
There was a Champions Hockey League game last night involving the Nottingham Panthers, so they were up against Zurich. It was 1-1 at one point. The Panthers did come back from 1-0 down to make it 1-1, but then Zurich, showing their class, made it 3-1. They'll take that back to Nottingham next week in the second leg. We'll come back to that later on, no doubt. Preview of next week. Usually at this point, we try to bring you something, you know, a coach or the player from the games we're going to face. We don't have that this week. That will return next week. We sort of pushed for time, and I was very busy, so we haven't been able to bring in the likes of Todd Dudium or Omar Pasha. But the Giants are away in game 4 and game 5 of that 5-game road swing to Gardner Conference oppositions once again on Friday night, 7:30 p.m. in the DIA. It is the Dundee Stars, and then just down the road in Kirkcaldy on Saturday, 7:15 p.m. against the Fife Flyers. Both have webcasts. Keep an eye on at AVFTB for those. Not usually something you like to do, Davey, but you want to surmise on those two games?
DIA is not going to be easy to go into. Passes, obviously, you know, we've had a look at them already this season. Teams well set up. Dundee Stars over the last number of seasons under Mark Lefebvre have been a very fast team, and there's no difference, fast, skillful, bit of size around them. So they're going to be difficult enough opposition, and we need to keep going. We need to throw a few cliches out here, Paddy. Get out there, fast start, best foot forward. No, we can't be given. Chip it in, chip it out, you know, all that good stuff. We can't be going 3-0 down, because I think the Dundee Stars at a 3-0 up team are a much different proposition to a Brayhead Clan 3-0 down. Fife, obviously, the next night, we know we didn't win in Fife last season, apart from in the playoff situation, you know, difficult place to go with KIA. So DIA one night, KIA the next night, let's hope we don't go MIA.
Oh, bravo, sir. I have to hand that one to you. That game on Saturday as well, I forgot to mention, it's not just an Elite League game. It's actually doubled up with the Dead Rubber Challenge Cup game that was cancelled at the start of the season. Not really a big fan of doubled up games, Sis, but I suppose it is a Dead Rubber Challenge Cup game anyway.
You know, forget about that. It's the most important thing is to get the 2 points in the league.
Correct.
You know, it's... But, you know, Adam Keith will say what he says, and he'll concentrate on Dundee first for Friday and then move on to Fife. But it's going to be two tough games. You know, we've already lost in Dundee this year. We haven't played Fife away yet, and it'll be interesting to see. You know, I'd really like to try and get 3 points this weekend. You know, if you can get one of the games the overtime and take one of them as a win, and I think that's a really good return. But it'll be difficult. It'll be really difficult to go to. You know, take it by the ferry over, and obviously, you know, travel and driving all day on a Friday, and short trip down the road on the Saturday to Fife, which isn't too far away. So hopefully the guys get the first game over and get well rested. Looking forward to the second one. And we'll just see what happens.
Absolutely. We'll keep you up to date at AVFTB on the webcast. Right, let's batter ahead towards the end of it. We got the TFAs. The Fan Agenda sponsored by our friends at Belfast Giants TV. First up, one of our regulars, Stevie Thompson. With Dubs to undergo a revamp, what would you implement, change, or remove from the current broken system, Simon?
I'd remove it all.
Start again.
I know. I would. That these guys that have come in, you know, obviously it is costing a few quid to get this done, but that's what you need to do. You know, you touched on it at the start of the show, Paddy, regarding, you know, you've had coaches, you've had ex-players coming in, you've had players coming in this year and commenting on that decision last week by Simon Kirkham, Joey Martin from the Cardiff Devils, you had Andrew Hotham commenting on it, you had Blair Riley, Adam Keefe all commenting that it was the wrong decision, and the most important aspect of any hockey game is the player's safety. So, you know, for me, if they can keep these guys about Lyle Setz and his colleagues in that group, if you can keep them about and it does cost you a little bit extra, it's worth it because the player safety is paramount.
David?
I would
vote David. I'd put
a red line through it. Vote David, yeah. I'd put a red line through Dobbs and say, look, the system that we used in the UK hasn't worked. It doesn't work. It isn't transparent enough. The people involved in it, with the greatest of respect to them, clearly don't have the knowledge of what is required to keep the players safe, because they haven't been doing it. These guys have come in and set the bar at the perfect height. I don't think the bar needs to be set any higher. They've came in, they're crystal clear And I was talking to somebody earlier on about they've removed ambiguity from it completely. And I think I said at the start of the podcast as well, they've left no room for debate. This is how it is. Bang, bang, bang. There's nothing left at the bit. He did use his elbow. He did elevate. He struck through the head or whatever. Fretter, he attacked him, blah, blah, blah. They don't leave any room for opinion. And that's what it has to be. It has to be a black and white decision. Yeah. We are, and they need to set tariffs. And it would be great. Does it matter as a fan if we know what those tariffs are? No, not if they're in place. That your first offense for... Your first offence for a hit to the head, as this guy got this week, is a 3-game ban. You do that again, it's a 5-game ban or a 6-game ban or 10-game ban, whatever. A deliberate high stick, slash the head, 5-game ban, whatever. Put those tires in place. And if there's consistency. And this template, as I said earlier, if it's going to be a UK-based system where Victoria Silverwood's going to be involved, if Mike Hicks is going to be in charge of it, or whoever, ex-players, ex-referees, ex-linesmen, ex-officials, people that have good standing and knowledge of the game, people like Victoria have a good understanding of the why players react in a certain way, and like Spiro Galagos when he was down last week, was he concussed? Did that lead to him using his foot in a defensive manner? That was her opinion on it as a criminal psychologist, or I think that's what she's involved in.
Yeah,
it
is, yeah.
You know.
Criminologist.
Use the people that have offered their services. If this is a money thing, and we always have to factor in that we're not a multi-million pound organization, but we don't have the money of an NHL, an AHL, a CHL. We just don't have that. If we have, air safety still has to be right at the very top of the list of things you do. But if you have to cut your cloth and use a player system that isn't as detailed as what we're getting at the minute, use that template. Use that on a weekly basis. Make it clear and transparent, because at the end of the day, okay, there's sponsorship and all sorts comes in to pay these wages. But without the fans, there's no product. And fans are becoming more and more disenfranchised with this product because of things like the Colton Fretter incident, where they go, I went to watch a game of hockey and a guy got mugged and he's banned for 1 day. For 1 day, they're on a 3-game road trip. And if anything, that would have been an advantage to Sheffield. The first game was a dead rubber and they've got a fresh guy back in for the next 2 nights. If anything, that wasn't a punishment to them at all. And, you know, that can't be allowed to happen again. We have to make sure that the people that are watching this are getting the very best quality of images that they can to make these decisions, and that they're coming back to the public and saying, this is why we've made this decision. And I think that the 2 weeks that Dobbs have been doing, so it's been a week, but two sets of decisions, has been a breath of fresh air to read them.
Fully agree with that. That's DVGiants83. Not really a question, but just a statement, an item for the fan agenda. Just a big thanks to Kitchy for updates at Clan. Couldn't make it, but made the caps. Must be hard to update and watch the game. So cheers. It's even harder to update when you've had that many pints, Stevie. But don't worry about it. Nice work, sis. Christopher Hull.
Oh, one spell mistake.
Yeah, the usual. Christopher Hull at Whiskers 434. With some different clubs doing great live streams, could the league not get involved and offer support to get live streams up and running at a few clubs still with no live stream? And could we all get the live stream? A lot of live streams going on here. And could we all get the live streams on one platform and just one account of subscription like Netflix of the Elite League? Christopher, I'm going to start with that. I get your point, and I agree with you. It would be great to have a game center live, the NHL game center live for all the Elite League games. But unfortunately, it doesn't really work like that within the Elite League. It's a revenue stream for the individual clubs, isn't it? And you've got the likes of Brayhead and Nottingham who will not do it unless they find that it's commercially massively viable for them. So to force them, you're not going to get there's no independence to the league to be able to force these teams to be able to do it. To have a Netflix for the Elite League where you're able to get all the games live on one platform would be brilliant. The guys at Giants Live TV, Infinity 21, though, they do the Belfast Giants one, they do the Manchester Storm one. Is the Milton Keynes one as well?
Yes.
And the Sheffield Steelers?
Yep, four of them.
So they're doing a fantastic job with that. Who knows? They just need to expand out to another 8 teams, and they've got the whole league. But, you know, I think unfortunately, that's a sort of a pie in the sky. I don't see it happening, Simon.
No, when you've got each team individually doing it themselves, and obviously, you know, Well, arguably the best one in the league is the Sheffield Steelers, the way they've got that extra bit of revenue to basically spend on it. So it's you know, there are some really good products around the league. You know, I like the Cardiff Devils one, and
Ice Time TV guys do a great job.
Yeah, I enjoy the Dundee one, and then you know, when you listen to the Edinburgh guys and going off on one about the referee, it's quite entertaining as well. But I can't see it ever happening. You know, there's just not enough money in it for teams here. But you know, with obviously, you know what the Giants TV brings in when you get the likes of you know, the Edinburgh Capitals fans watching compared to the likes of Nottingham Panthers fans watching. So it's you know, it's each individual team's decision to do them, and there's not a lot you can basically go on with it. It would be a great idea if you could get them all under one umbrella, like the NHL Game Center. But the challenge that you're going to have with it is you know, the argument that's going to come in from Brayhead and Nottingham for you know, obviously they don't want to lose their revenue for bums on seats in the arena itself. No.
Last one, Jonathan Hughes at Cruise One. What's your views on Clantastic getting a ban from the shopping centre for tweeting out a video incident at a Steelers game? Has the league gone mad? This is obviously to do with Graham Thompson, who's at Clantastic on Twitter, a member of the Purple Army podcast, putting out a clip of the incident involving Levi Nelson that was obviously put into DOPS and has been assessed with no further action. Who am I going to go to with this? Davey?
I'll be very careful what I say here. So, well, do I think... What's the actual question? Do I think they're wrong to ban him?
What's your views on Clantastic getting a ban from the shopping centre for a tweet out a league, a video incident?
This is an incident that happened in front of 3,000 plus people. I'm sure if you really wanted to go into the nth degree, you could find people that had that footage on their mobile phone on the Saturday night, and there'd been nothing to stop them putting it out. Yes, he put out the footage prior to their highlights going out. Yes, I think they then reviewed it to DOPS, and maybe they didn't want the, you know, for whatever reason, the public to see that. You know, trying to keep something that happened in public private from the public. I don't get it. I think it's a bit draconian that he did get banned from the arena. I felt bad for him because obviously he had family over from Australia. He took them to the game. He had to sit in the car park. You know, he's a season ticket holder there. He's been going from day dot to Brayhead Con, so felt a bit sorry for him there. You know, everybody involved in the situation has had to take a responsibility, hold their hands up and say sorry for what they did, and, you know, we'll have to just move on.
Simon?
Did the Elite League come out and say all those things that allegedly they said? Did they basically point the finger at him and go, where did you get this from? Or is it just a decision coming down from the clan management trying to make a point? Because, again, you know, there certainly wasn't 3,000 people at that game, by the way. there wasn't anywhere near 3,000 people there on a Saturday night, so there wouldn't have been any on a Friday as well, in my opinion. But you know, when you've got that sort of thing happening, people on their vote on their mobile phones, and it was the incident about Nelson, wasn't it? Nelson and Sullivan getting in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, Nelson's just too strong for the kid. I just don't get. You know,
it was more to do with the control of the footage. Like Brayhead, Nottingham, that don't have their own webcasts. Obviously, the footage then that Graham had got hold of had been gotten through a league source, if they like, and the league wanted to button that. I think it was more to do with how he got the footage rather than the actual footage was put out there.
To be honest, you know, you've already mentioned it's draconian, and the guys just need to catch themselves on. It's hard enough getting a full barn and any rink in this league throughout the season, and you're turning people away for things like that. Grow up.
And on that note, we'll draw the fan agenda to a close. Thanks to everybody for sending in your questions. Keep them coming throughout the week. At AVFTB on Twitter, hashtag TFA. I'm speaking of three letters, AOB. Anybody?
Says anything?
Couple of things. Blair Riley's birthday was tonight, today. I know we're coming out tomorrow, but happy birthday to the captain. And it's Dicko's birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday to Dicko. And then we can't go anywhere without wishing a belated happy birthday to young Blake McCackie. And I don't know if you've seen the photograph or the video of him coming out with his new walking stick supplied by Taff and Mike Vespero Blackhaw sticks. It's absolutely brilliant. See, anyway, man, you know, taking, you know, steps which we all know is very, very difficult for him. And seeing him coming out with the two hockey sticks made into walker sticks for him is absolutely brilliant.
I stick on the theme of, Simon called them birthdays, I'll call them yearly anniversaries. Paddy, I believe there may be an anniversary in AFTB, AVFTB, maybe even today.
Yesterday.
or yesterday by the magic of radio. I just think be wrong of us not to pass on our congratulations, says to Paddy and Joanna, 3 years married. Obviously, the little beautiful little rosiness came along in that time, and we wish you many more years of love and happiness together, Paddy.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Yep, she survived 3 years of 3 years of marriage. Could you believe it?
The girl needs a medal.
She certainly does.
just to close any other business, I suppose on a much sadder note. It was obviously the news came out there yesterday that Corey Nielsen's father has passed away, and Corey will be spending this weekend back with family and taking care of business at home. And I suppose from us at AVFTB as Belfast Giants fan base as well, you know, I know we absolutely detest the organisation of the Nottingham Panthers, but I say that with heartfelt sympathy from us guys. The loss of a parent, Simon, sadly knows how hard that is to deal with, and you know, so good to his mum, probably misses his dad dearly. And you know, if you're lucky enough to still have your parent out there, give them a ring tomorrow, tell them you love them, and you know, live every day and respect your parents, because without them you wouldn't be here. And I genuinely from the heart pass on to Corey and to the Panthers fans that our deepest sympathy.
Well said,
here. And on that note, we'll close the show. Obviously, we said the Belfast Giants are in two games away from home. Away to Dundee on Friday night, away to Fife on Saturday night. Keep an eye at AVFTB on Twitter. We'll give you all the details on how to keep up to date with those. Likewise, soundcloud.com/AVFTB with some great stuff. We had that special last week with regards to the Dops decision, and we had some great interaction with everybody. Our Twitter went absolutely nuts. We had so many downloads of that show. It was unbelievable. So thank you very much for everybody who got in touch, everybody who downloaded and listened to the show, everybody who commented on the show. We can't do this show without you. We're so humbled that so many people got involved at soundcloud.com/AVFTB, and look up us up on Facebook, just search for A View from the Bridge. Mr. Majemsey and Mr. Kitchen, thank you very much for joining us.
I have one other thing.
Just one more thing.
I'm really sorry. We put out a tweet regarding somebody doing a pumpkin competition.
Yes.
Did we pick a winner for it yet?
No, but we'll let's do that tonight, and we'll put it out. We'll put it out tomorrow afternoon, so after this show goes live.
No problem. Perfect.
Absolutely brilliant. Mr. McGimsey, best wishes.
Cheers, boys.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.